Well, hello and welcome back to the Beyond 30 podcast. This is Jen and I'm here with the Andrew Axum as we dive into our second week of Advent. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing great.
It's been doing a good, well. Glad to be busy here. Day.
Yeah. It has been a full day.
Which is funny because we're talking about peace and, yeah, and how we find that. What I loved, Andrew, about your devotional, for those that are following along, we wrote a 4-week devotional for those that are wanting to experience and walk through Advent, whether it's for the first time or whether it's something that their families have practiced for a long time. And what I loved about your devotion this week on peace was the way you started out inviting us to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And I want to start that now too. So if you're listening, take a deep breath. You can breathe in and breathe out. It's funny how rare it is that we really take a moment to stop and to breathe. And for some reason that was really significant for me in the midst of busyness, because you can't slow down a deep breath, right?
Like no.
That it's kind of funny. And and so I'm excited for this conversation because I'm a very hurried person and I find such a longing and a craving for peace. And so I'm excited to talk about this and to learn from you and to continue walking in this direction of Advent as we await the celebration of the coming of Christ, but also as we await the return,
yes,
of Christ. And so, yes, let's talk about peace.
Let's do it.
So I know for me, I am a very hurried person. And so I feel like I'm like constantly rushing. Where does peace come up in your life? Just at a baseline when you think about your experience of peace?
Yeah, well, and I so resonate with you in terms of the busyness and the fullness of life. I have 2 kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old.
So weird to hear.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. And life with them is really full. There's a lot going on there. And so I think peace is something that I find my soul craving for. It craves moments of taking deep breaths. It craves moments of feel like longing for some semblance of order,
yeah,
and control,
yeah.
which I don't know that I will ever get as long as I have a toddler in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, peace is really relevant to me. And I find my soul longing for that often.
Yeah. And I think what you said too, just about the season of life, we, in so many ways, it's hard for me to consider the concept of peace because it feels easy to think that that's just not attainable. Like,
yeah,
life is too busy, work is too full, families are too chaotic, there's too much going on. And so talk to us a little bit about just that from an initial thought of how do we approach the default thought of things are just, there's just too much to do, too many places to go, too much to accomplish. Where,
yes,
does peace fit into a busy culture, but really busy seasons of life?
Yeah, I think that there's this idea of peace that when I eliminate the busy,
mm-hmm,
when I eliminate the stress, when I eliminate pain that might be happening in my life, then I'll have peace.
Right.
And I think the difficult thing that we see in Scripture, which is also hopeful but also difficult,
yeah,
is that we can't find peace in the absence of busyness or stress,
yes,
or trouble or pain. That,
yeah,
that's not where peace,
yeah,
is found.
Yeah.
But that peace is found in God's presence, that is where we can actually find peace for ourselves, that thing that our soul is longing for, it's only found in the presence of God. And I think this is a beautiful thing because as we read through the story of the Bible,
mm-hmm,
from Genesis to Revelation, this is how we see peace being described, that in these two idyllic moments at the beginning and at, mm-hmm, the end, these moments of perfection, really,
yeah,
you have Adam and Eve in the garden.
Hmm.
Everything is good. Everything is right.
It's like peace personified.
It is peace in its fullness.
Yeah.
And what you see is this image of God walking in the garden in the cool of the,
yeah,
day,
yeah,
with the man and the woman.
Yeah.
And that's where peace is. And then in the end of the story, whereas we're looking forward to Christ's return, we are,
mm-hmm,
looking forward to perfection in its fullness yet again.
Yeah.
We see in Revelation 21 this really beautiful description. And in in verse 4, it says, "He, being God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. Mm-hmm. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And that sounds like perfect peace, does it not? But what's important is the verse that comes right before in verse 3, because that's where it says, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And so these really after effects of peace that we're desiring, the elimination of mourning and death and pain and busyness and hurriedness, those things come from being with God. Those are the results of God's presence.
Yeah, and that's so interesting too, because we are so in the in-between. We're between the two gardens. And so where, or what does that look like for us in the sense of finding God's presence? But first, before we get to that, what about God's presence brings peace? Like, why is it the presence of God? Because, yeah, I think that it's important to think it's not just this sense or this feeling that we might have, which I think there are times when I feel, air quotes over feel, more at peace because of a certain thing. But if it's God's presence, which is always around us, if that's the catalyst, what is it about his presence that allows us to rest and to find peace?
Yeah, I think there's something really, really beautiful even about what you just said, and that there are these moments where we'll feel peaceful, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we'll feel peaceful, say like you're on vacation and you don't have work to do. Yeah. Your phone is away from you and you're looking at the mountains or you're looking at the beach and you feel peace. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we feel peace in those moments is because we are experiencing something of what God has made in a way where our focus is not on all the other things that usually capture our attention. And we're seeing the creation testify to the creator that made it. And recognizing that we too are creation. Mm-hmm. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't bring ourselves into existence, but we were made by God. And not only were we made by God, but we were made for God. And that we weren't made to live these independent lives. We're creating our own kingdoms, creating our own existence, but that we were made to live with God, that our souls were made for him. Yeah. And that outside of relationship with him, outside of constant interaction with him, there can't be peace because we're incomplete. We're lacking the one who made us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's huge. And I think that's helpful too, to help identify the moments that we do feel peace. And as we learn and lean into the character of God, what we find is his goodness and his control over the world and his sovereignty that allows us to trust what he's doing. And when we don't have to be the ones to make it happen, then we can find peace. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you look at, you know, the pages of scripture, you know, this vast testimony to who God is and what he's done, where do you find moments of peace? Where do you find these stories that, you know, might give us an insight onto what it looks like to experience peace in the presence of God?
Yeah, I think what's so profound to me about scripture is that we see these stories of people who were like us encountering God and their experience walking with him and experiencing his presence and his goodness and his sovereignty, and that leading them to peace, or them ignoring his goodness and his sovereignty and it leading to chaos, you know? And, oh man, yeah, my mind goes to so many places right now of thinking, as we could look all throughout scripture at so many of the different people that we see, and really at the crux of each of their stories is a moment of believing God's control and believing God's trustworthiness and how that shifted their experience of peace, or when they tried to seize control. I mean, all the way back to the garden, that it was Adam and Eve seizing control and wanting to be in charge. And I love what you said again in the Devo. It's us letting go of the idea that we are in charge of our own lives.
Yeah.
And that makes me think of Adam and Eve, of feeling in control or the need to control, seizing from what they shouldn't be seizing, and then experiencing the lack of peace. And so what really sticks out to me, and maybe it's just Advent season, but I love what we see of Mary in Luke chapter 1.
Yes.
Luke is my favorite gospel. I just love the way that he writes, and I love the way that he just digs into the heart of the people that we see in the stories that are told. But what I love about Mary, it's in Luke chapter 1, early in the story, and it's verse 38. And so the angel has just come to Mary and told her that she's going to be with child. And Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And I just love that response. I think what I see in that is such surrender.
Yeah.
And from surrender, I think we find peace. Yes. And that I think as we are willing to say, man, God is sovereign and we can trust him. And because of that, I can release my need to control, my need to manipulate, my need to make it happen or not happen or whatever.
Yes.
And so much peace comes from that. I think too, and man, I haven't thought of this verse in some time, but I think of Isaiah, is it 26? Isaiah 26, 3. Says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." And I love that. It's that trust in God's goodness and his sovereignty. And then this promise of you will keep in perfect peace, that Yahweh will keep in perfect peace the one who trusts in him because he's walking in surrender. The other text that I think of is from Paul in Philippians 4. And I think there's so much in this, but it's in verse 7 where Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And man, my soul has found such solace in that verse through tumultuous times in life where I feel out of control.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded that he is beyond understanding, and the peace that we experience from God is beyond understanding. And I remember first reading that and thinking, oh, that's why friends or people who haven't experienced the peace of God are kind of surprised at like, how are you okay in fill in the blank?
Yeah.
It because it goes beyond understanding. Yeah.
That's so good. And it's really beautiful. You know, we've mentioned in the previous podcast that, you know, Advent is this celebration both where we look backwards, as we look to Christ first coming as a baby, but also we look forward to Christ coming again to make all things new. And that's even evident in this passage in Philippians 4. We jump back just a little bit to the beginning of that paragraph in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And here's where it gets really interesting. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And then after that's where he says, "Don't be anxious and you can have this peace." And it's about the nearness of
so
Jesus,
good.
This expectancy that, okay, life may be messed up. And life really is messed up. There is real brokenness. There is real pain. Pursuing peace in Christ doesn't mean that we say, oh no, I don't experience pain. I don't experience trouble. Because we do.
We do.
But we also recognize that the one who will fix everything, the one who will wipe away our tears is coming. He is near. He is returning.
Yeah, it makes me think, Andrew, of Good Friday when we did that service, which was, I think, forever will be one of my favorite services that we've ever done. And you and I got to kind of creatively put that together. But one of the things that sticks out in that is as we walked through the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, one of them is when Jesus is speaking with one of the two robbers, or really conversing with both of them in a sense. And he says to the one, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And the profound moment there is the we talked about the withness. I think we made up that word, but it's this idea of the prize is not escaping death on earth. The prize is not being exonerated from a crime or from whatever. The prize is not having something here happen. The prize is you will be with me, and that is enough. And if that's not enough, then it's not Christ that we're after.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
something different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good.
Yeah, man, I think there are so many things about peace that as we kind of pull it down to earth, there are so many things that kind of just seem up in the air. So what are some thoughts on just the practical pursuit of peace in the midst of a really busy season? Christmas season is wild and there are parties to attend and family to host and presents to buy. And like we've talked about, the answer isn't just stop doing those things, right? And to a degree, maybe there are some things we need to say no to. Yeah. But from a realistic perspective of the world that we live in and the season that it is, what are some thoughts of how we begin to pursue and experience the presence of God in order to maintain peace throughout the season?
Yeah. And you mentioned this earlier, I think pursuing the presence of God as King, as sovereign, and us as, you know, to echo Mary's words, here I am. I am a servant of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize and find comfort in God's sovereignty as King. And so, you know, I think about, for me personally, one of the things that I've started doing is that as I walk my dog, Augustine, I take that, you know, there's a temptation for me to take that as moments to like flip open my phone and just scroll away or find the latest, greatest news on the Florida Gators or whatever it is.
Go Gators.
But being able to take that moment for me and to practice prayers of surrender.
Yeah.
Where I am praising God as the one who's in control of all things, admitting and confessing that I'm pursuing an illusion of control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I believe and I practice a belief in which I can win peace for myself, in which I'm acting like I'm in control of my own life.
Yeah.
I do it all the time and I'm so not in control.
Yeah.
And God is, and I need to confess that with my mouth to my King, recognize that, put that before him, ask for forgiveness, and then find peace in that simple word. One of my favorite passages that I encounter every year is this word that we find in Isaiah 52. And it's verse 7, and it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." That phrase, I mean, it gets me every time. It catches me right in the depths of my soul. Like, that's the fullness of good news, of salvation, of peace. This simple message, your God reigns. And that is what I need to hear. So I think a lot of practicing peace is putting ourselves in the vicinity of that message.
Yeah.
It often means being still.
Yeah.
I think it means prayer a lot. I think it means confessing that with each other, getting people around us that, that we could reflect on that truth together. For me, music and singing is a really big piece of that. Whether that's singing to myself or listening to music that reminds me. I mean, in the Christmas season, there are so many great songs. Like there's like crazy fun, like, you know, holiday Christmas songs. But then there's songs like, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," or "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." And for me, listening to those songs, that is healing for me.
Yeah.
What comes to mind for you of ways to practice peace?
I think that's so beautiful. Yeah, I think so much of what you're saying is just positioning ourselves to receive and to be in the presence of God, knowing that he isn't going anywhere, right?
Yes.
It's not a matter of him not showing up or him not being near. It's just our awareness of his presence, because he is present. That's a reality and a truth and a promise.
That's so good.
I think it's John Ortberg who tells a story of his experience with Dallas Willard. I think I'm getting those names right, but he says he was moving into a bigger leadership position than what he had held before. And Dallas had given him some counsel and some ministry, spiritual direction. And so he calls him and says, "Hey, I'm moving into this new season with more responsibility and more expectation and all of this." And he says, "What can I do to stay near to the presence of God," essentially. And Dallas says to him, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And he's like, "Okay, got it. And what's the next one?" It's like, "No." Like, that's it. Like, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And for me, I think the concept of hurrying and being in this reality of never feeling like I can catch my breath, or of going from one thing to the next. And sometimes it's just a busy day and there's a lot to get done. But more often, I would have to confess, it's me rushing. It's me not managing my time the best. It's choosing to do one thing when I could do another. And then getting into this domino of like, I've got to hop here and jump there and finish this and get that done. And the reality and the thought of what hurry does to me is, I think, more serious than I'm often willing to admit.
Yeah.
And this conversation brings that to light.
I so resonate with that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening resonate with
that. Yeah. And so I think for me, it's just choosing to slow down, choosing to say no to something so that I can say yes to the right things. And obviously, like we said, there are some things we can't just like stop life, you yeah. know, to experience. And
we weren't
peace.
Made to stop
and
life.
Yes, exactly. We weren't made for that. And so, yeah, I think for me, it's just making the decision of kind of like what Colin said on Sunday, what do you desire most? And asking myself, because the answer to that I say is the presence of God. I want to experience that. That's most important to me, but my calendar doesn't always reflect it. And so I think making the decision to make space every day to sit, whether it's listening to music, whether yes. it's entering into conversation with the Lord, whether it's praying on behalf of other people, just slowing down and welcoming the presence of God that is already there, maybe just making myself attuned to it and aware of it more.
I think that's so good and helpful, because we look at examples we have in Scripture of people like a Moses. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Moses had nothing on his plate. Like the man had so much to do.
Yeah.
And for him, finding peace didn't mean saying, God, I'm not going to lead these people, or I'm not going to make sure that there's justice in the camp. It meant that central and core and first to his life and to his leadership was God's presence.
Yeah.
Without God's presence and without him enjoying and practicing peace with God, he could not have done all the things that he did.
Yeah. Man, such a good challenge to us, even thinking of that moment where he says, I think it's Exodus 34, and he says, if you don't go before us, if you don't go with us, we're not going, and I don't want to go. And man, what would our lives look like if not just in the big moments? You know, it's easy to think that when you're contemplating a big move or a career shift or something like that. But in the day to day, like, God, I don't want to go if you aren't there. And I know you're there, so make me aware of where your presence is and how we can walk in that.
What a good prayer to pray walking out the door.
Yeah. It makes me think of when I went to a conference in Chicago in March, and we talked about this during the Behold and Wait series that you and I did in March that was really beautiful for me. We walked through Isaiah 40. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this idea that this speaker said, he said, God, make me present to your presence in everything. And it was this breath prayer that he would say over and over. And I think that's our invitation to peace, is God, make me present to your presence. Yeah. Well, Andrew, any closing thoughts as we consider peace and just the profound impact it has on our lives?
Yeah, I would just encourage you as you listen. We mentioned this at the very beginning, the standard that we want to put in front of you is not perfection.
Yes.
It's participation. Yeah, and so I would invite you, pursuing peace feels really overwhelming, and it probably feels like I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I have all these other things. Yeah, I don't have time to go after peace. And so I would just encourage you, you don't have time not to pursue peace.
Yeah. Yes.
And it is the thing that will enable you through the Holy Spirit of God to do the good works that he's prepared beforehand for you to walk in.
Amen. That's the perfect way to end. So we challenge and encourage you to pray this prayer with us. God, make me present to your presence.
Amen.
And we look forward to continuing the conversation on Advent next week. Go with God. We appreciate y'all.